This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Join now, Transpositions, a safe place for trans communities, our friends and our allies to share our experiences. We'll discuss our issues, our challenges and our successes. We'll occasionally make you cry and hopefully we'll educate and inspire you. Welcome to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
Good evening. You are listening to Transpositions. This is Michelle. I'm joined tonight on panel by Clayton. And tonight, my guest is Mary Haddock Stanland. I got that right. She is a transgender woman living in Auckland, New Zealand. Now, what is special about Mary, you ask? Well, she is a successful businesswoman operating her own brand from her website, mary.net.nz. She is a radio, television, and fashion commentator, voiceover artist, corporate MC, and YouTube star. Mary Haddock Stanland is an energetic, larger-than-life, passionate, and out-there character. She has determination to succeed and believes in squeezing every last drop out of life. Now, Mary has generously taken time out of her busy schedule to come and have a chat with us today. She is here to share with us stories from her life, such as growing up as a transgender woman in New Zealand at 18, and things such as her recent marriage with her longtime partner and now husband, Willie. Welcome, Mary.
Hi. Nice to see you. Thanks for having me here.
Now, we have passed each other here and there on the interwebs.
On the interweb. The world wide web. It's such a small world, actually. It's not really worldwide. No. Well, it is worldwide, but it makes it seem like sometimes you're in the backyard. Nice to see you.
Likewise. So this is our first time actually meeting, but we've passed by so many times over the past 2 years. Now, I, like you, I love sharing people's stories and having others learn from those stories and experiences. What I love about your story is that you have done and been exposed to quite a lot in your life. And you've had doors slammed in your face, but you've risen above.
Literally.
Yeah. Trust me, honey, I've been there. And look, you've risen above all of that, and your energy is just infectious.
Yeah, I don't. So many people think that is just a put on, or it's just a front, or it's a phase, or it's just me performing. It's actually not. I genuinely have a passion and zest for the life that I have and the people I surround myself with. And I'm just me, living true and living authentically to what I know is the real me, which has been difficult to do over the last few years, but it's getting easier. But that doesn't change the fact that it can be tricky at times, particularly when you live in a small country like New Zealand, at the bottom of the earth, you know, shearing sheep and playing rugby, the All Blacks in particular. There is no room. It's red-blooded and it's very male-dominated. And So when you look at someone like myself, I've got an identical twin brother. I grew up in a very strong Māori family. With a large, you know, I've got lots. I'm one of six and I'm the youngest of the six of us. It's not easy. It hasn't been easy, but you know, it's getting easier, and it's just all about loving life.
Oh, definitely.
And also I think empowering others, you know, knowledge is power. And I always find whenever I'm talking at forums or on a stage in front of an audience, information that I can share to empower others and changing the views that they have of people similar to me, that's really important, and that's where my passion lies right now.
I absolutely love it. And isn't that what it's all about in this transition, just finding your true self and just living and loving life?
Yeah. That's a very blasé way, I suppose, and it's indicative.
In a nutshell.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's an indicative way of looking at life, I suppose. But, you know, you don't want to sugarcoat it to make it sound too fabulous, because I think people do look at my life, what they see of it and hear of it and read of it, and think that I am just a, you know, Kim Kardashian Kiwi wannabe. That isn't life for me day to day. I don't have my hair and makeup done every day. I'm not wearing designer clothes every day. I love my activewear. In fact, I wore it out while I was in Melbourne today, and I plan on wearing it while I'm shopping tomorrow because it is comfortable, and that's, again, being true to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is just perception, and I think people think that I'm a little bit above the threshold when I'm not really. I'm just me being me in the world.
I find a lot of times within the trans community, there is a lot of doom and gloom. And people, you know, get that tall poppy syndrome where they're very much like, woe is me.
Yeah.
And I think the rest of the world needs to see people like yourself or even myself who do rise above the struggles that we've gone through and say, hey, there is a positive side. We can live a normal life and we could be pretty damn fabulous at it while we're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just about normalizing.
Definitely.
You know, I'm no different. I still need to go to the bathroom. My poop still smells. I still need to eat the same nutrients as everybody else and have the same water as everybody else. I'm no different. The air I breathe is the same as you and the person next to you, behind you, beside you, in front of you. So that's what I find I'm extraordinarily fascinated about, because I think that it is important that people know that it is just living life and being normal, you know, and that's really difficult to break that barrier. And I work in the corporate sector really, really passionately with folk in that space, because there is nothing better than, you know, speaking to a couple of thousand people and having a handful come to you and say at the end of it, I've learned something and I get it from having heard your story, or that it's just, I never knew that, because people are just naive and they don't understand.
Definitely.
And then that changes their focus. So,
well, it's a whole new language that we're teaching others about.
Absolutely.
And so I look forward to actually having further conversation with yourself and getting to the nitty gritty of what makes Mary, Mary. We're going to step away for a few moments. Right after this break, you're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. Tonight, my guest is Mary Haddock Stanland.
You pronounce that perfectly, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I think it's American accent.
Perfectly.
It makes it sound really good.
It makes it perfect.
I was stressing about actually pronouncing that
really
properly.
Because it's so bloody long. Oh. I should never have double barrels.
You should never.
When I got married, I should never have taken his name.
I thought you were going to maybe, like, you know, do something like you had on your Facebook page or your website. It went Mary Hadstan.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Because people think that I have had a Stan, or that my husband is Stan. No. And it's like, no.
No, he's Willie.
Sweetheart, that's right. No, it's my name's abbreviated, but it is the longest name ever. Signing it and read, I just never.
Well,
I did it because I wanted.
Happy.
Well, yeah, exactly. I did it because I wanted to include my husband in my life. Whereas, you know, those Hollywood stars and stuff, they keep their maiden names in their privately. They've got their husband's names or whatever. Not that I'm trying to say I'm a Hollywood star, but I should have probably done that, but I didn't. But anyway, I've got it now. So
no.
It's got a ring to it, but it's just a bloody long ring.
It does.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny. Now I'm going to get to the nitty gritty on you.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I'm quite an open book myself. Mm-hmm. And I see this all as being a teacher in what we're doing and teaching others, you know, new language and how things are going. And mm-hmm. and I have great respect for those who are willing to share their stories. So I'm really looking forward to this. I would love to hear and have you share with listeners more about your life growing up in a small town in New Zealand as a transgender woman.
You know, I grew up in a town in the Waikato called Matamata,
mm-hmm.
which anyone from New Zealand listening or people tuning in online or whatever that know where that is, it is in the middle of bum nobody. In fact, it's Hobbiton.
Okay.
You know, Lord of the Rings, it's is it the Hobbiton? Yeah, I don't know.
You don't look like a hobbit to me.
No, I'm 6'2". No, I'm definitely not a Hobbiton. But that is where I'm from. And growing up in an environment where I was always very theatrical, you know, I was in the school plays, I did rock and roll, I did jazz ballet, I did, what else did I do? I played the keyboard, I sang, and my identical twin brother was everything athletic. You know, he was cricket, tennis, rugby, soccer, basketball, baseball, you know, you name it. School holidays, we were spent traveling around with him. Winter or summer sport didn't matter. We were traveling with him to support him in his, you know, attributes to be a rugby league player or a rugby player. Neither of those happened.
So were you in the backseat going, what about me?
Yeah, what about me?
Fair.
Exactly. It isn't fair. It isn't fair. What the hell's going on? So I really began to grow a backbone and be clear about who I wanted to be from a very young age. Without going into too much detail, because it's too vile and hideous and we don't want to talk about it. My father was horrible, and he really changed the way I wanted to be, because he was so obstructive and just didn't want this to be the case for me.
Is that the culture over there, though, or...?
Well, I don't want to speak for anyone else, but it definitely was the culture in my family. I mean, my dad was extraordinarily homophobic.
Okay.
And so that, thankfully, didn't last very long, as in my mum and him having a relationship. Mum remarried. We stayed on in small town New Zealand for a few years through my primary school, actually. Mm-hmm. And then into intermediate, we left and moved on to Auckland. And that's really where the shift began for me. You know, I really knew that I wasn't just interested in boys. I wasn't interested in the body I was in, and also not attracted to girls.
So being in the town you're in, you're like a big fish in a small pond. Get to Auckland, you now are in a pond that's well suited.
Correct. And as I started to grow and through intermediate and excelled academically, mm-hmm. Quite the clever one I am. I've kind of lost it in my 30s though. But I really just found that there was no real space for me, because back then, you know, we're talking about the 90s, there was no real discussions about transgender topics of discussion that come into play around homosexuality or whatever. Yeah. So I didn't know what the hell, who the hell, the internet. Oh my God, we had only just got a computer. You know, I was typewriter or on the, the DOS system
or whatever
the hell it was. There was no such thing as the internet. Honey, ain't nobody got time for that. Mm-mm. There was no time for it. There was nothing.
Hey, I grew up in Midwest USA Bible Belt.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so I totally feel you on that.
Yeah. You can understand my frustration. So I didn't really understand any of it.
Yeah.
You know, my mum took me to a psychiatrist at Waikato Hospital in my, you know, I was 9, 10, I think, before we moved to Auckland, to get an assessment on me and like, mm-hmm. what the hell is wrong with you? What's happening with you? Why are you feeling like this? Why are you acting the way this is? Is it just an act? Is it a phase? Is it this? Is it that? Is it what the hell's going on here? And for me, that was really defining. It was difficult and it was hard, because my brother, who him and I were identical.
Yes.
Were. Note the were identical. Yep. And, you know, he wanted me to go and play sport with him and do stuff with him out the front of the house or play whatever, and I just wasn't interested in it.
Now, you were about 18 at this time, weren't you?
No, I wasn't that old. No. So fast forward, let's fast forward because that was boring. So that was sort of 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, sort of 16. I was in fifth form, sixth form, that I said to my mum, we've got a problem.
Now, I noticed that in my travels within this community, and now I've got two small daughters who are 10 years old, and they've accepted everything quite well, and no big deal. I've interacted with other trans women who've got children in their 20s, and they seem to struggle a bit, but accept quite well. But I noticed those in their teens, in a time when they're sort of trying to learn their own identity, they struggle a bit. And so when you're in your teens, you've got an identical brother, how did that affect your relationship?
With my brother, we didn't really have a great relationship at all. In fact, in a recent magazine story, which I know was in Australia, we didn't talk for 7 years because there was such a divide in what he thought was the right way to live. Mm-hmm. He was influenced heavily by my father. And there was a real issue with, you know, community, society, mm-hmm. saying that there was an issue and that there was topics for discussion that he didn't know and he didn't understand himself. So our relationship began to break down quite...
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. But, you know, we've kissed and made up and we're in a really good space right now. So we are both doing really well, and he gets it. Like, he understands, and he's been a power of strength over the last few months for me particularly.
Yeah. How's the rest of your family? And you said you're the youngest of six?
Yeah. Great. Yeah, I have a... You know, my sisters can be cows and my brothers are dicks, but, you know, other than that, that we have a... I can say dick on here, right?
Yeah. We're after 9 o'clock on the show.
After 9 o'clock. Okay. Oh, well, of course. Yeah, we can say whatever we like. Broadcasting Standards Authority will be calling tomorrow. But we have... we have a great relationship. You know, I've got family all over the globe. So I am lucky to be able to have a supportive, understanding family, which is not the case for many. So I'm really appreciative and grateful for that.
No, that's amazing. So you said you did a magazine expo with your brother. How did that come about? Like, if you guys weren't talking, how did that come about?
Yeah, so we kissed and made up about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So, and, you know, it just became, how did that come about? I don't know. I think I had done a magazine story last year and my brother had come up in conversation and I think they had been interested about, this particular magazine had been interested about getting the story, the exclusive with my brother and I. So it just evolved from there. And then, of course, it's a dual magazine company. So Australia had it featured here and then it went to the Daily Mail, I think, and it went all over the show. But interestingly enough, from what I understand, the statistics for having identical twins and having one so straight and then one suffer from gender dysphoria is very uncommon. Like, there are less than a dozen in the world.
Oh, wow.
So, tick. that would be me. So, and I don't know whether there are any others in inverted commas in New Zealand. Okay. Sorry, in Australia. I definitely know there aren't any in New Zealand.
I know there's a young girl on the show that came on Stand Up Straight, Bella, and she's an identical. Clayton actually interviewed her, and her brother.
Yes, Bella and Cooper, they're fraternal twins. They're not identical. Bella transitioned at about 6 and she's now 10.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, of course, you know, the American Hollywood star Laverne Cox has an identical twin brother.
You can bring
her and I, her and I are leading the way. Well, we follow each other on
just
Twitter,
like this,
you see. We follow each other on Twitter.
So we're sisters.
Like,
well,
we're actually related now. Yeah, it's an unusual setting, but I don't mind being unusual. I've been unusual all my life, so it doesn't really matter. My brother, on the other hand, is struggling to cope with the attention at times, but whatever, he just has to get over it. And
just deal with it. If you can be fabulous, you can just make him fabulous too.
Yeah.
So you said things were struggling with your parents. So how has it been with your dad or your mom?
I don't have anything to do with my father, and my mum's amazing. My mum is amazing. I'm really lucky to have such a supportive and understanding mum. Obviously, in the last couple of, you know, months or so, it's been a struggling time for my mum. But, you know, she knows what's, you know, the path that I've chosen is where I'm happy at. And, she just wants me to be happy. So,
That's amazing. Yeah, because many people do struggle with that when they lose everybody through all of this.
And yeah.
Also being more of a personality and getting yourself out there, that would also be a strain on family as well.
She doesn't like that very much like my husband actually, but again, whatever. I don't really listen to them at the best of times. So yeah, my mum just is, she always gets a little bit pissed when she reads about what I'm up to. And she'll ring me and say, did you really have to do that?
Just say it's okay.
Did you really have to go there?
I'll bring you some duty free on the way back.
Yeah, no, or something I'll say and it's quoted in the paper or whatever and she'll be like, was it necessary? but yeah, you know, it's just part of life, and she's now she's getting used to it, more used to it.
That's awesome. Now we're just having a bit of a chat about Mary and where Mary's come from, and just sharing a bit of her life with you. Now, Mary, I personally believe transition isn't just about gender. I believe everything involved in all of this process is from pretty much finding yourself all over again. Everything from professionally, spiritually, even things like family and friends, like you were sharing with us before about your family and coming back together with your brother and stuff. And for me, my transition, things I've loved is, you know, the cross between how my relationship with my daughters has grown and finding a new path for myself, like say things here at Joy and what's
taking
me.
Can I just say, by the way, I just think it's amazing. I'm very jealous that you have two beautiful daughters because I have wanted to have children for such a long time. And it's not something that I haven't, and I don't want to be careful about how I say this because next minute the phone's going to ring tomorrow from someone saying, okay, we want the story on you having children. It's definitely been something that my husband and I have talked about, but it just hasn't got to fruition yet. So, that is amazing.
I'll come visit you in New Zealand and you can borrow them for a weekend,
I have a million nieces and nephews. I've got like 19, God, if I don't get this right, I'll get into trouble for my mother, like 19 nephews and 6 or 7 nieces. And I have 4 great nieces.
Oh, wow.
So I have shitloads of kids in my life, but none of them are mine.
Your own,
and
different.
The beauty of it is that they come and hang with me because they think we live in a hotel in my apartment complex at home.
Really?
And then I give them back to their mum and dad.
Bye. Love
See
you.
See ya. Right, where's the housekeeper? Clean the house up to the upside down, tip it upside down. So I'm very jealous that you've got beautiful girls.
They're amazing. Look, they've really accepted all of this quite well. And it's funny, kids, they just... They adapt so well.
Very, very resilient.
And they've actually become sort of like our little kind of co-hosts on the show. They come in and do things every now and then air, which is quite fun as well,
that
too.
That is cool.
One of the best things was we were out at dinner one night, and I was with my ex and her boyfriend at the time. And he was still referring to me as he and calling me my old name. And my oldest puts down her fork, looks at him, says, "Her name is Michelle."
Wow.
And he goes, "Right. So Michelle was saying this," like, put an adult in his place.
Wow.
Which was, that's what you need.
That is cool. That is cool. I don't actually have that problem. I actually stick it to them when I do get grief. So, yeah, maybe I do need to. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Have your little mini-me's.
Mini-me's. Oh, my God.
So for you, what has been the biggest transition in your life? Like, the biggest or best or...
The biggest or best transition in my life, I did a one-off TV exclusive last year in New Zealand, and it was a tell-all about some sticky situation stuff that I got involved with back in my, you know, back in my youth, some indiscretions that really I hadn't told the truth about,
mm-hmm.
and there had been so many discussions had. Around it, there'd been gossip, there'd been rumors, and it was just time for me to set the record straight because it was actually impacting on my career.
Yeah.
It was causing so much grief because I'd never talked about it. I'd thrown it under the carpet. Whenever I'd done media stuff, I'd just ignored it or sidestepped it or never addressed the issue. So the current affairs program that I talked to had been eager to talk to me for some time, and I had let it go and didn't decide to and what have you. But then in the end decided it was the right time to come clean. And I tell you what, the truth does set you free, because in the moments leading up to and during and post, and then when it aired, and just I knew that it was the right thing I did. And I've never looked back. I think that was a significant transition. Obviously, there have been other things that have been fantastic for me, meeting my husband 10 years ago.
So many things that have happened.
Married, exactly. Getting married when it was legal to get married in New Zealand, with the same-sex marriage bill passing in March of 2013.
How did you respond to that? Like, how did that?
It was just something that I wanted to do. It was something that I felt necessary. I was very vocal in my topics, talking about it, you know, to the in the media, and of course, the announcement of Willie and I getting married overseas made all the papers, and we did a magazine story, which was kind of nice for them for Women's Day, mm-hmm. which is a huge magazine in New Zealand, and I know here in Australia, a Bauer Media magazine, that they would never have covered a story like that. They would never have paid for and do an exclusive for our wedding. So that was, I knew, the turning point for New Zealand media. But talking about it and having it in mainstream. And of course, in my recent discovery of falling into a private hospital in Auckland and having breast augmentation, which is something that I'm loving, mm-hmm. was never something that I wanted to do 2 or 3 years ago. And it's been something that my husband and I had been talking about for months. It's unfortunate that some of the media in New Zealand took to it like it ran up a drain pipe. And the outcry from that was that some people in the LGBT community in New Zealand were not very polite to me, but I'm not used. I'm very used to that. I do recall some headline being, "We don't care. You should have gone to Thailand." But apparently, I'm a wannabe for saying that I could afford to get it done in New Zealand. But that aside, there have been lots of different points, lots of amazing transitioning points that have happened.
And that's one thing with transition that's funny, because things do actually change. You don't have necessarily have that game plan in the beginning. Because I've known you through a mutual friend.
Yes.
And, you know, I've watched you from a distance and the decisions you've made and where you weren't going to go. And, you know, now actually having, say, breast augmentation and things like that. Most people I find within the community, within the first 6 months, I'm getting this done this month. I'm getting that in 9 months. I'm getting this. And I really believe in taking your time and making the decisions in time as it comes, as you need to.
Yeah, and I think for me, it was just something that I wanted to do. It was the right time for me. I feel like it's the tick box that didn't get ticked along the way. And it's what I want, and it's my body, and I'm, again, going back to my mantra, being true and authentic to myself.
Exactly.
And I don't really give two ticks. I mean, I've been out there for almost 11 years now. I know, as in a public forum, I know that I'm up for people to be not very nice to me. And I've got pretty thick skin. And I've also got a block button. So I generally use that as much as I can because it doesn't faze me. You know, people are entitled to their opinion. And I'm all for a public discussion. But when it comes to something so private that I never actually wanted in the public domain in the first place.
Yeah. Because I know you were really, you had a civil union with your partner to begin with, didn't you?
That's right.
And you, I know you hated that term.
I did. You have done good research.
I have done good research.
Yeah, I hated it.
And so, yeah, and so it was just, you know, seeing him that actually came out and hearing how vocal you were on yes, you know, definitely as a marriage and my partner. And
yeah, exactly. And I don't think, you know, I have nothing personal against people that have civil unions. Mm-hmm. But I don't rock a half a knuckle full of diamonds for me not to want to say that I'm married to my husband, because
exactly.
We are married.
Yeah.
And he is my husband.
Yes.
And I'm his wife. So that was a really sticking point. Again, I got a bit vocal about that. But I get really passionate about things and I just don't stop. So, and the world of social media is that you can go hell for leather.
Yeah.
And then it just and often 9 times out of 10, everything I go hell for leather for ends up being exploded because I've got a big mouth and people apparently like to hear what I've got to say. So,
and a troll pops up whatever, and you go, oh, that's fine. Block.
Yeah. Bye. I love the block button. We call it the BB in my house.
Now, you were featured in one of New Zealand's leading radio stations' reality series, which is, I think, similar to The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Yeah.
So can you give us a bit more information about that?
Or? Yeah, that was fun. The producers just called and we talked, and I was actually in Tonga doing I'm an ambassador for Tonga Tourism, so I'm up there 6 times a year. Poor me. But I was actually just complaining about how badly tanned I am at the moment. I'm not brown as I normally am. Like, I'm normally...
Honey... Seriously.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, we're all white in the room. I feel much better. Thank you. But I'm normally browner than this, like brown, but I'm not very brown because I haven't been there for about 3 or 4 months. But I was in Tonga doing a commercial for Tonga Tourism, swimming with whales, actually. And I got a phone call and they were like, we're going to do this. And just went through the process of scenarios and would you or wouldn't you. And, you know, it was a huge thing for me to be involved with something like that because, again, it isn't something that is, well, you know, accepted or,
yeah,
or talked about. And it was amazing. We had heaps of fun. So I was basically in a hotel suite for, 10 days and lived the life of Riley. Had to do heaps of activities, which really sucked like shit through a straw, like jumping off things and going farming and, you know, milking cows and doing the revolting things.
Were they videoing you or was this all on audio?
Yeah, yeah. So it was filmed for online and then it was audioed across the radio. And the radio station that it was on is a very big radio station in New Zealand. So we would talk about it every morning on air with the breakfast show.
Okay.
So it was heaps of fun. I was a crowd favourite, it has to be said, because I am very upfront to the point, don't mince my words, and if I don't like you, you're going to know. So from that, I've got some exciting things. I won't give it away because I'm not allowed to, but
yeah.
I do have an exciting project happening in the first quarter of next year, which will involve more of me in a reality space, but more on that closer to the time.
Well, we'll have to go and definitely get the link from you on the this thing you did online with the radio station.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you are
ZM Ladies of NZ is what it's called.
You are quite the feminine lady. So I can imagine you like screaming, jumping off of something.
Oh yeah, totally. It was hideous. But also I was the only one that had a full team of stylists. So I had my hair and makeup, my glam squad in at 4:45 every morning. And my room we had to bring in extra wardrobe hanger thingies because I was dressed by the two designers in New Zealand who dressed me. So I had the fabulous of everything, like everything. The wrap party, I had the caftan queen from Australia, who I'm actually here to do work with in a photo shoot and story later in the week here. She had a one-off dress made for me. It was all very, very over the top. And these other girls were like...
Bitch.
What? Yeah. Actually, yeah. And they use the C word at times too. But and naturally, because they were like, how is that possible? Like, what?
Do you ever have your diva moments and like ask for shit like a bowl of just green M&Ms?
No, I just ask for water. I just ask for water.
Clearly.
Yeah, just ask for water. I'm not that deep. No. Well, some would beg to differ, but no.
While I go and swap out Mary's water to keep her happy. Mary, besides being a busy socialite.
Oh my God, I hate socialite.
Well, it's better than social heavy.
Yeah. That's true.
That's very true. Well, you definitely are a trans personality. In New Zealand, and you're also back in the corporate sector on a part-time basis, and you've set a PR company recently.
I have,
so tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I just, you know, being in front and beside in this world that I live in, sometimes voluntarily, that's for sure, I've really understood and learnt the concept of how to promote a brand, and as a brand ambassador for the last 10 years, I've worked and aligned myself with a number of partners and commercial entities and
well, I was going to compliment you on your hair, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. Killer do an amazing job with my hair. And I've just gone blonde. And you know what they say about blondes. You know, I just have a real passion for it. So I've joined forces with my publicist to create a PR brand that's going to work with consumer brands and a couple of personality friends that I have. And, of course, I have a lot of friends in the environment that can assist in pushing product and working with brands that I'm familiar with as well. So it's an exciting time for me because I, as well as, you know, I've been a director and CEO of an HR consulting company, specializing in counseling and psychological support services. So that was, I stood down as a director from that company earlier this year. So I've had a bit of a break and my husband's, you know, knock, knock, knock going, right, when are you going to start earning some M-O-N-E-Y again? So that's what I'm currently involved in.
He's like, pretty hair doesn't pay for itself.
That's right. Well, in fact, getting me ready is fine because I actually have sponsors that do hair, makeup, toes, fingers, clean the jewelry, get the jewelry, get the shoes, get the clothes. It's paying the real bills.
I think it's where I go, bitch.
Yeah. I'm very lucky. Even when I arrived at the hotel, when I got to Melbourne, a new clothing arrangement that I have with BNKR, an Australian company here, sent me some gorgeous clothes, didn't they? Sent me some gorgeous clothes. So, yeah, I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky.
Definitely. Mm. No, you're just a very smart woman.
I think so.
Now you seem to love Melbourne quite a bit.
I do.
It's like your second home, it seems, these days.
Yeah.
So what are you getting up to while you're in Melbourne this time?
I'm talking to a couple of people like you. Yeah. Talking on the radio.
Are they as fabulous as me?
No, they're not. Oh, okay. They don't even compare. And I am speaking at an event later in the week, and I'm doing some shopping, and I'm here to I'm fronting a campaign on a caftan range that I have bought out with the Caftan Queen, who is based in Sanctuary Cove. And so all the KQ team are coming down here later in the week, and we're doing a photo shoot and having a massive party, and then I hop on a plane and go back to the land of the long white cloud.
Sounds Sunday. Amazing.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
I do enjoy coming to Melbourne. It is my favourite spot in Australia.
Well, we do enjoy having you come down. You'll have to come back and visit again sometime.
Yeah, I'm so well.
Maybe come co-host with me one time.
Yeah, that would be so much fun.
We'll grill somebody together. How's that sound?
Yeah, let's do that. We'll drag someone in off the street, off Burke Street, and see what their problem is.
Who are you? What's your problem?
What's your problem? Thanks so much for having me. It's so nice
to see you.
Thanks
for coming down.
Nice to see you.
Now, you can catch us, if you did miss tonight's show, you can catch us on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/transpositions. We also twits, we do the Instagrams, we do all the different social
it's
media.
Tweet.
It's twit. I'm a twit.
You're a twit. Okay, line. I'm not, sorry. I didn't want to get you, saying it the wrong way. It's twit.
Well, once I become more professional at it, I can tweet. Right now, I'm a twit.
Kathy Griffin calls it twatting.
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 I'm not that bad.
I love that word. I love that.
Well, you can then also actually follow Mary if you're a twit, a twat, or a tweet off of her website, which is mary.net.nz.
Do you know, I need to correct you. That is my website, but I do have my actual one is what is it? It's maryhadstand.com.
Okay.
But well, Mary.net.nz, it does work, apparently. Okay.
Well, you need to talk to a PR person.
I do.
Because that's what she gave me.
Oh, that's and I went, really naughty.
At least as I'm not saying Mary TV, you know, like it was used to be.
Yeah, so. It used to be. Yeah. But it's maryheadstand.com. But mary.net.nz. Just
you'll
Mary.
Find her.
You'll find her. Just put Mary into Google. Actually, don't do that.
Actually, if you just put Mary into Google or Mary had, it's it. That's all you need to do.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, if you did miss tonight's show, you can get it on our podcast, which is also broadcast from the Apple podcast app. You can also get us via joy.org.au/transpositions. Thank you for listening tonight, and we will speak to you next week on Transpositions. Have a good evening.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.